This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We do try to bring you a wide variety of good information all about you and your health. A reminder that the show is streamlined through MyVillageGreen.com. And please do visit the Village Green, either the site or the store on Cedar Lane. You can get expert advice on supplements. Both site, the site and the store, are your resource for all kinds of information on a variety of supplements and health issues. Also, a reminder that we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next week to hear Dr. Pissarro discuss physical fitness, the myths, and the health benefits of working out. Now, today, we are quite fortunate. We are having a long discussion today with James Duke, and I just want to introduce a little bit about Dr. Duke. His background is exceptional. He's an ethnobotanist, is a PhD in botany from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Phi Beta Kappa, and distinguished alumnus. And he has a tremendous background. He served 3 years with the Missouri Botanical Gardens, 7 years with the Battelle Memorial Institute in Panama, Colombia, and Columbus, Ohio, as an ecologist, and 27 years as an economic botanist with the USDA right here in Beltsville, Maryland. And he retired from the USDA, but before retiring, Dr. Duke brought his ethnobotanical and phytochemical database online at the USDA, and it is still one of the most frequently consulted areas of the USDA website. And Dr. Duke also serves as a distinguished herbal lecturer with the Thai Sophia Healing Institute in Laurel, Maryland. He has written more than 30 books on medicinal plants, and he is the go-to expert on plants, herbs, health benefits, and medicinal applications. So our topic today is herbs and spices in health and disease. Now, you may have asked yourself, or maybe you already know, about the medicinal qualities of such plants as dandelions or garlic, or about the health virtues of cinnamon, turmeric, or fenugreek. Maybe you know about these plants, maybe you don't, but by the end of this show, you're going to know a lot more, and it's going to benefit your health. Some people wonder what to do with the mint that grows rampantly in their flower beds, and what plants you can use for coughs and colds. So for ideas and thoughts on these, this is Dr. Duke, and we have him today on the show. And he calls his place the Green Pharmacy Garden. Now, the pharmacy has an F in it. It's purposely spelled that way because it's a farm of plants. So it's the Green Pharmacy Garden. I love that name. Welcome to the show, Dr. Duke.
Thank you, Dana. It's good to be here on a lovely day outside. I just came in from the garden.
Well, I would expect that. Now, I know it's a sanctuary of approximately 300 native and non-native species of plants. Tell us a little bit more about how you developed this, and also that you have tours of the garden. People can come and learn and experience it.
Well, the garden was developed after I retired from the USDA. I don't like being idle, and I've been just as busy in retirement as I was before. And I sort of brought into play 30 years of experience with medicinal plants. and set up four rows, each of which has about 20 plots in it. And each of those plots has a stone in the center with the name of a disease, for example, heart disease. And around that stone, I would gather some of the best plants, some of them herbs, some of them spices, some of them invasive weeds for those particular diseases. And I think we really have some of the best medicinal plants in the world in this garden. And some of them are competitive with pharmaceuticals, I'll have to say.
Well, and we're going to make sure we cover that. I know we're going to talk about substitutes for statins, and that's my favorite subject because there's a lot that can be done. So you, if you want to, you mentioned heart disease. What are some of those plants that you have in that segment for heart health and heart disease?
Well, mentally, we'll walk out to that row where the heart disease rock is. And you'll see there the hawthorn, you'll see there the garlic, which is a vegetable and a spice. And you will see several things that you don't know called schizandra, both an American schizandra and an Oriental schizandra. And there are probably 12 to 15 of some of the better herbs for heart disease there. And they will include those herbs that we mentioned that sort of work like statins, raising the good HDL and lowering the bad LDL.
Well, that's exciting news. And which ones are specific to if a person is on a statin or wants to avoid taking a statin? Which herbs are the ones that will apply?
Well, here we've got a spice that we keep in the greenhouse. We'll be bringing it out next week. And this spice is turmeric. It can lower the bad cholesterol about 30% and raise the good cholesterol. But if you take that with black pepper, you get even more of a statin-like activity. That's why I coined the word herbistatin for those, because they're working like the statins, but they don't have, at least to my knowledge, the side effects of the statins.
That's wonderful. I like that you coined that term. I have a term for the side effects from statins, and I call it statinopathy, because so many people experience not just muscle damage and neurological symptoms, but damage to the heart muscle itself. So I'm always on the alert for alerting people to the signs and symptoms often missed, because it's not unusual in a patient with heart disease that a professional may not pay attention when the patient says, I'm having more problems, more shortness of breath, not feeling as good. And there may be the decision to increase a statin without recognizing that it's actually statin-induced cardiomyopathy, which is a medical condition.
I like your term, Dana. I've had two of my best friends went through statinopathy, and I know how devastating it can be.
Well, this is good. So the turmeric and the black pepper supports cardiovascular disease, or supports the heart and prevents cardiovascular disease in a similar way as to statins. We have also talked about garlic on the show. Can you give us a little bit more information about garlic's role?
Well, garlic seems to be a little bit amphitensive, too. That means under certain circumstances, it can raise the blood pressure. Under other circumstances, it can lower the blood pressure. But best of all, it is a multiple antiseptic. It's good for almost any ailment that is caused by a germ. But it belongs in the heart plot. It's not been shown to be real strong as an herbistatin, but I think under certain circumstances it has been shown to work in both directions. We tend to reverse that with the word adaptogen.
Yes.
I'm still puzzling over that. I'm still a skeptic, but the more I read, the more I think that garlic will work the way you want it to work. That's hard to believe, but when you remember that each plant contains about 5,000 different chemicals, almost all of them biologically active, you'll find that some are hypotensive and others are hypertensive. And to that, forgive me for coining another word, I call that amphitensive, raising it in one condition, lowering under another. And that's adaptogenic or normalizing. And I think that the plants tend to get you in balance, and that is normalizing or bringing you into balance.
Well, that's well said. In the nutritional world and nutrients, I always give the explanation of chromium. Someone asked me, why do you give it for low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, and for diabetes? They're totally different. But not when you look at it as glucose regulation. In other words, when you have either one of those conditions, you have a problem with glucose regulation. And chromium supports the effectiveness of insulin in its function. And so it works on both hypo and hyperglycemia. So that's why we call it an adaptogen as well.
I would call it amphiglycemic.
That's another good term. You and I could come up with our own dictionary, I think.
Yeah, we might have to explain it to all our listeners, too.
Now, hawthorn is interesting. There seems to be more knowledge now about the use of hawthorn in heart health. Can you give us a little bit more information?
I believe it was back in about 2002. When the JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, said that everyone with diabetes should be taking four different drugs, an ACE inhibitor, a beta blocker, a calcium channel blocker, and a diuretic. There you go, A, B, C, D, to get a point across to your reader.
Uh-huh.
ACE inhibitor, beta blocker, calcium channel blocker, and a diuretic. And that would mean four drugs, many of which would have many side effects. But it turns out that when you look into the analysis of the hawthorn, it contains at least three each natural ACE inhibitors, beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, and diuretics, and has fewer side effects. It's normalizing. It's balancing. A synthetic, which is sort of unbalancing, is more liable to have more side effects.
I like the ABCD on that, and that does explain a lot about hawthorn's effectiveness. The diuretic issue is one of my pet peeves, and I think our listeners have heard me describe this before, that given to get rid of sodium, they also deplete potassium, magnesium, and calcium, all three of which, when those minerals, calcium, magnesium, potassium, that are depleted by diuretics, when those are low, we have higher risk for high blood pressure and myocardial infarction, heart attack. So it's interesting that some of the meds that are given for cardiovascular problems also can increase risks for cardiovascular disease.
Amen. We've seen a lot of that in the drugs for diabetes, too, like Avandia.
Yes. Yes, and the recalls do occur, but usually not too soon, not soon enough. So we've talked about the hawthorn and garlic. What about the schisandra? What can you tell us about that, the role of schisandra in heart health?
I would have to go to my database to do that. I've not studied it lately. I'm very unusual in that my garden contains both an American schisandra and an Oriental schisandra. But I'm not really up to date on what the mechanisms of its cardiopathic regulation are.
Well, what little I know about it is it also has a broad effect on health as well, as many of the items that we're mentioning. I wanted to ask you, we talked about we mentioned spices and herbs, and I think it's a good idea right now to try to explain to listeners the differences between spices and herbs.
Oh, Dana, you're going to pin me down into definitions. And I've read a lot of them on the web, and none of them satisfy me. So instead of giving you a definition, I'm going to tell you that in general, but botanists tend to think of spices as tropical things, barks and seeds, and the culinary herbs more as leafy and temperate. And that will break down to but I use them all, and a spice, a vegetable, and a herb are frequently one and the same thing.
Yes.
Herb can be a tree. That's embarrassing, but that's the way it turns out in the herbal medicine role. But to a botanist who's into more regular botany than medical botany, an herb has to be small and non-woody. But in the herbal medicine world, an herb can be a tree, for example, magnolia.
Yes.
But here's my poem from a book I published back in 1987. I freely give sage advice. Sage is an herb, not a spice. Herbs are tasty, temperate shoots. Spices, tropical barks and fruits. And that's why the spices are much higher priced.
I like that. Well, that's a good way to end our first segment. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to James Duke. We're talking about herbs and spices in health and disease, and we'll have a lot more interesting discussion in the next segments. This is The Essentials of Healthy Living, and I'm Dana Lake, your host. This is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us, listeners. We will be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and reminding you that we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please tune in next week to hear Dr. Pissarro discuss physical fitness, the myths, and the health benefits of working out. Now, today's guest is very exciting, Dr. James Duke, an ethnobotanist and has a Ph.D. in botany with a lifetime of experience in herbs and spices, the medicinal uses of plants is a better general term. And his experience goes from Panama to the USDA in Beltsville, Maryland. He has the Green Pharmacy Garden. That's what he has created. And I said before, the pharmacy starts with F because it is a farm. It's a plant. It's plants. And Dr. Duke is giving us a lot of information. We started out with a little bit of a tour, just a visual in our mind tour of the pharmacy, but we're going to talk more about it. He has over 300 native and non-native species of plants that have been used traditionally and or researched for medicinal purposes, and it's located in Fulton, Maryland, in Howard County, not far away at all. And Dr. Duke is a retired botanist from the USDA, and he and his wife, Peggy, have been collecting medicinal plants for over 60 years. I think it's wonderful. So, Dr. Duke, let's talk a little bit more about spices. We started that discussion in the first segment. Tell us about spices and how they preserve foods, how they function.
Well, you'll remember. Well, let me take you back to my childhood. I'm 82 now, and when we were living in rural Alabama on the Coosa River, we had a thing called a root cellar. We didn't have any refrigeration at all, and spices were used to preserve the meat, and that's where I got a taste for barbecue. But the red pepper in there sort of slowed down the oxidation of the meat, and that meant it preserved it longer. And when we use spices as antioxidants today, and as antiseptics to kill germs today, we might be extending our lives a little bit by the very same process, preventing the oxidation in our own bodies. And that's why I recommend a spicy diet for those who can take it. I know a lot of people allergic to garlic and a few allergic to hot pepper, but I thrive on hot pepper, and it's really one of the most important spices to me. And it doesn't quite fit our definition, if you're going to get me to a rigorous definition, because it's an annual. It's not a perennial, at least here. And we harvest it annually, and that red pepper can really put a bite into things. That hot ingredient in the red pepper is capsaicin, and that, to me, is one of my most important medicines now. At 82, I'm suffering from a neuropathy from spinal degeneration. And that capsaicin comes highly recommended, even approved by the FDA for neuropathy. So you'll frequently find me rubbing salves on my knee or on my sacroiliac or on the small of my back with red pepper in it, being careful not to get it on my fingers so I don't get it in my eyes, etc.
Good advice. Yes, I think that has certainly surfaced as a well-known remedy, and I'm glad you explained the way to use it. And it is interesting that historically humans used spices for medicinal and preserving purposes, not really for their taste. It's just recently that we focused more on the flavor than the medicinal properties.
That's correct. And a lot of people don't like raw garlic, but that's next on my list of the important spices to me, because I had Lyme disease, and when I was undergoing all sorts of therapies for the Lyme disease, the garlic seemed to do me more good than anything else in the way of antibiotics. I'll never know what killed it, but the titer is gone, but I think the ghost may still be there in my neuropathy. But the garlic, I think of as a real good blood thinner, and it can be too good a blood thinner for some people. But it's also got some well-proven cancer indications. And that's the first thing I'll go for when the colds and flus are going around. I won't go for Tamiflu, I'll go for garlic. And I always joke and say, well, if I eat enough raw garlic, it'll keep all the people who have the flu away from me, and I won't get their flu.
That's the truth. Yeah, and garlic is revered, I think, among spices, and it certainly has been the heart of many old remedies dating back decades.
Let me throw in there, Dana, since it's ramp season out here at the Green Pharmacy Garden, that all the wild relatives of garlic and onion are also good for most of these same things, because they all share those sulfur-bearing compounds like allicin.
Yes.
And so if you can't get your garlic, you can borrow my ramp, or you can eat a wild onion and get many of the same chemicals. It's also famous for anti-MRSA, you know, the multiple resistant Staphylococcus aureus. It's one of the best things. I once had a bad infection on my ear and was out of contact with medicine, so I split a garlic clove and taped it onto my ear, and that infection went away. Either coincidence or good old Mother Nature at work.
Just makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. What about turmeric?
Turmeric's the first one I'm going to recommend for cancer. And this makes the FDA mad, I think, but they make me mad at times, too. But the turmeric has got so many studies where it actually turned out better than the chemotherapeutic with which it was being compared. And I'm a little bit leery of chemo. I worked with the Cancer Institute from 1977 to 1982 as a USDA employee, bringing implants from all around the world. So I've watched this very closely. And the chemo can kill a few people as well as a few cancers. Turmeric, I don't think, ever killed anybody, but it can extend the life in many cancer cases and is synergetic with the poisonous chemo. But it's also got a great track record for dementia and Alzheimer's and depression. And it's probably one of the best studied herbs out at MD Anderson Cancer Clinic, especially Dr. Bharat Agarwal, with whom I'm in regular contact. And Dr. Agarwal, working at MD Anderson, off the record will say that he would recommend turmeric to almost anyone undergoing chemotherapy. That's contrary to what most chemotherapeutists will say. So that's contrary, but I frankly think that turmeric can help more people than chemo can.
Well, I am glad you mentioned it, and I want to reemphasize it when we open in the next segment. Unfortunately, we're a little bit short of time in this segment, but we will continue the discussion. We've covered red pepper, garlic, and turmeric, and we will keep going. If you've just tuned in, listeners, you are listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the day. Please stay with us. We will be right back after this break.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. Committed to pure and great tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 AM, and next week you can tune in to listen to Dr. Pissarro discuss all about physical fitness. I think you'll enjoy that segment. And we've been enjoying this segment with Dr. James Duke, Jim Duke, very famous. I know he doesn't want me to say that, but that is the truth. And the go-to person in the medicinal use of plants. Dr. Duke worked with the USDA, and there is a database. And I want to give you the database connector. There is a database that he created on ethnobotanical and phytochemicals, and it's online at the USDA. So it's www.ars-grin.gov/Duke. So if you could probably Google it, Dr. Duke's database of phytochemicals, and I think you would still find it. And it is still one of the most accessed parts of the USDA website. Now, Dr. Duke, I also wanted to remind people about your Green Pharmacy Garden, which is in Fulton, Maryland, and that you and Peggy have been collecting these medicinal plants for over 60 years. It's interesting. It's just beautiful to see. I've only been there once, and I intend to come back for a visit, if you will allow me.
I'd forgotten you'd been here.
Yes, it was a long time ago. And so, I'm due for a return visit. Now, we've been talking about spices and the uses of spices, and they certainly have a lot to do with pre-refrigeration. We talked about that, the importance of preserving foods, but they have medicinal uses as well. And we covered red pepper and garlic and turmeric. Did you want to say any more about those three? I know you have your top seven medicinal spices, and we have covered three. Any more on those?
Let's try to get through at least four more on this segment. And what I bring up now will sort of tie this segment to the last segment, because I have a book out called Medicinal Plants of the Bible, and there's a quandary there. The word saffron is mentioned only once in the Bible, but I've included both saffron and turmeric in my book because they're both yellow dyes. They are both capable of being raised in the Holy Land, and nobody really knows which they meant. No way we could prove it. There are no voucher specimens. But saffron, as we know it in the spice world, is the female organ from the flower of a crocus, very much like the spring crocuses that have gone out of flower recently. But this one flowers in the fall. So if you come out to see me, Dana, in the fall, close to October, my saffron crocus will be in flower. And that's a significant and very expensive spice because you have to hand pick those three threads from the center of the flower and dry it to get the spice saffron. But that has a good track record for cancer, dementia, depression, blood pressure, and it's in my heart plot too. And in my aphrodisiac plot, too, and my premenstrual syndrome plot. We got a lot of plots in the garden.
Wow.
Saffron is a widely ranging one. But it's been shown in studies in Iran to be better for depression in lower quantities than the pharmaceutical imipramine. It's also competitive with Prozac and with Aricept for Alzheimer's. You were about to say something. I kept going like a wound up.
No, I was just impressed.
Well, it's a pretty one, and it's small. And I'm surprised that it does so well here, but it can be grown here. It could be grown in the Holy Land. And most of the studies on it have been done in Iran, also a major suppressive. But then it's also in the heart plot with my cinnamon. Cinnamon is in my heart plot, ironically, because it's in my diabetes plot. And cinnamon is what I call the herbal or spice competitor to Avandia, which is a highly recommended, highly prescribed, I should say. I'm not recommending it. But Avandia is one of the major, still, anti-diabetic drugs, even though it's killed, I think, 1,300 people, the last figure I saw. But Dr. Richard Anderson at the USDA has shown that cinnamon and three other spices are very competitive with pharmaceuticals for diabetes. So it's a star in my diabetes plot. And there's another biblical connection there. Almost every time you see the word cinnamon in the Bible, it's associated with the herb cassia. And ironically, cinnamon and cassia are close related species in the same cinnamon genus. And we're not sure which the studies were done on, but I would take either for diabetes in a heartbeat before I would take Avandia. And I frequently have what we call comparisons in the garden. I'll have a mock-up of an Avandia prescription drug growing beside my cinnamon, which is my pharmaceutical competitor. And I think the cinnamon is actually better than the Avandia for the diabetes and for the heart. And Avandia, the 1,300 people it kills, were from heart disease.
Yes, yes. The safety factor is exponential.
The other three, I think I can come up that Dr. Anderson mentioned, and they are competitive for diabetes too. The turmeric is there. The clove is there. And then without my Alzheimer's drug around, I can't figure out the fourth one. But there are four spices that he worked on that are good for diabetes. And it's nice to have the USDA involved in this for a change.
It is. And cinnamon, again, it has surfaced as not just about taste. It always was about its medicinal effects. So we're going back to the old is new again.
Okay, and I do mention black pepper mostly because it's so important in concert with the turmeric. When Mrs. Duke was pronounced as, they call it pre-diabetic, she started taking turmeric and cinnamon, and within 2 months she was back within normal range just taking those two spices. I like it. But the black pepper so improves the uptake of the active ingredient in the turmeric that I recommend you not take turmeric without the black pepper.
So they're synergistic.
That's exactly right. I mentioned earlier that the hot pepper was most important to me. That's the capsicum because of its capsaicin. And it works in several different ways. If you apply it topically, it sort of interferes with the transmission of the pain. But if you inject it or ingest it, it's better, and that's the way I like to do it. It releases your internal endorphins, which are like opiates. And then the pepper itself contains a little bit of salicylic acid, so it's got three different ways of working against the pain. And I'm afraid that pain is my number one enemy right now. And that's why hot pepper is my number one spice right now.
Well, and internally, it also, we've been talking about it as a salve, which has become very popular, but internally it also has a nice effect as far as pain-killing purposes.
Right, and for arthritis, it's the herbal competitor to Vioxx, which has been taken off the market. It killed probably 90,000 people. So the hot pepper is my herbal alternative to Vioxx. And believe me, you'd be better off if you were taking it, if you can handle the pepper. It's pretty tough when they get down.
Well, and I know you mentioned the death rates. I usually like to interject that when we talk about safety of supplements, herbs, you know, nutrients and herbs, a lot of people are not aware that there is a huge difference in the death rate and the report of adverse effects, what they call the adverse effects reporting. So with medicines, the death rate is 190,000 a year. And it's acknowledged that that is probably 70 to 90% underreported. Now, when we get to the natural substances, supplements, herbs, you're looking at 0 to 2 deaths a year. And those two tend to be toddlers getting into their mother's iron tablets and swallowing too many before the stomach can be pumped. So it's pretty rare, and the safety factor is exponential.
Yes, that's why I'll always take the herbal alternative if I can afford it. And it's usually the cheaper, and it's certainly more liable to be balancing.
And on your top 7 list is also garlic, which we talked about, but it always bears repeating.
Yes, the garlic is it's tough to ingest a clove a day. And at one point, somebody said that some people thought that meant just swallow the whole clove of garlic. That is not the way to do it. I peeled one, and I took it and swallowed it. It was quite easy to swallow once you sort of rounded the point at one end. But that's not the way it should be taken, because if you don't chew it, you don't get the medicinal activity.
You don't release the allicin. The allicin has to be released, right?
Right. You got to get that stink. It don't mean a thing if it don't have that stink.
Well, that's a good reminder. And will cooking garlic, excess cooking, cause problems?
Yes. I've got a book by Roger Lawson, who's one of the authorities on it. And he tells me that you probably lose at least 1/3, maybe 2/3 of the activity in prolonged cooking. So throw it in at the last minute and get it raw if you can. We get it many ways around the garden. And when I'm leading a tour, you'll find me popping the little aerial seeds, which are like miniature cloves of garlic. Hot, hotter than blazes, but they'll do the trick right there on the field. Take your breath away. But at the same time, they're killing the flu.
Well, that's good advice, and we're going to take a brief break. If you've tuned in, listeners, you're with The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. I'm Dana Lake, and the show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with Dr. James Duke.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at Acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalarti from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalarti provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalarti is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, and it's an honor to alternate this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We try to bring you a wide variety of good information about your health. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Do tune in next week to hear Dr. Pissarro discuss physical fitness, the myths and health benefits of working out. And today's guest has been giving us a lot of good information, Dr. James Duke, ethnobotanist, and what I call the go-to expert in the medicinal use of plants. And he's been talking to us about, we just finished off talking about, I guess, his favorites, the top favorites, and it includes cinnamon and black pepper and hot pepper and turmeric. And garlic, I think maybe I've covered, I've missed.
Cinnamon,
saffron. So we have talked about those, and now he's going to take us on a guided tour of his green pharmacy. And this is right in Fulton, Maryland, where his home is. So if we'll just listen to him take us on this tour, and he'll tell us about his plots.
Yes, there are 80 plots in my garden, and we picked a lovely day to go out in them. I rehearsed this morning with a friend who wanted to see what was in flower, and lots of things are in flower now. So I'm doing this from memory. I'm walking you through the gates where we have a sign where it's written in stone that it's the Green Pharmacy Garden, but pharmacy with an F. This is a farm where we grow medicinal plants. Not for sale, but for research and for teaching. It's a teaching garden. And I'll be taking a class to the garden this afternoon. Coincidentally, the first plot that comes up is the aphrodisia plot right by the steps as you walk into the garden after you see the Green Pharmacy sign. And the aphrodisia will have a few things that are familiar to you and a few that are not. But we grow a lot of them, and many are in flower. There's the fava bean, a good nutritious legume, which is also a good source of the pharmaceutical L-DOPA. And that would be my herbal alternative to pharmaceutical L-DOPA. It's essentially the same, but it seems to have some other synergetic plants in. The garlic is there because many years ago it was said to have given rise to Cicero's passion. And it does have some weak effects, I think, on the corpus cavernosum. There's the ashwagandha, which is a famous adaptogen from India and Africa. I saw it in Africa as a weed, and in three different languages, they said the same word with the same emphasis. You saw that herb, and they would raise their fist and say, meaning it's good for the man. And then we have the cardamom, a spice akin to ginger, which the Arab like to take in their coffees as a stimulant. And then we have the Damiana. We lost it last year. I hope we're getting a replacement, which is more of a female aphrodisiac, and the Don Quai, which is more of a female. And my favorite one, the Epimedium, which is in flower now. That's name is actually translated, it's Yin Yang Ho. And I thought that meant male, female herb, but I had put the accent on the wrong place. That really meant lascivious goat weed, or horny goat weed, it's called. Yes. So that's just a few. The stinging nettle is there, and it has its reputation, and parsley is there with its reputation. And we've got a brand new one. It looks like ginseng, but it's a vine. And we do have the ginseng, and those are supposed to have some proven aphrodisiac properties, but I'm rather a skeptic. But we've lingered too long on that. Let's go to the baldness plot next door, where it's co-shared with the prostate plot. And in the prostate plot, we have the autumn olive, an invasive weed, but a very good source of lycopene, better than the watermelon, which I have in that plot too. And we also have pumpkin, because the pumpkin seeds are especially good for the prostate. And we have Pygium, or the African wild cherry, which has some anti-prostate. And we got a lot of salt palmetto. We have just one, sorry. We got a lot of stinging nettle and just one salt palmetto, which we'll bring out of the greenhouse next week. But I think I've got some herbs there that are better for the prostate than the pharmaceuticals put up for the same purposes. And all of them that I mentioned are foods. Tomatoes there. Ketchup would be there if it were an herb, but it's a derivative of my tomato. And then we get into the female area, where we've got some herbs for dysmenorrhea, or the bad period. And we have there the black haw, which is not exactly a food, but can be eaten. The bilberry and the raspberry. Raspberry leaves themselves. And again, we have the Don Quai. Now, as we came into the garden, there's a stone-carved picture that my wife drew of the evening primrose, which is one of the best sources of gamma-linolenic acid, which is one of my first recommendations for young ladies who are having a bad time with their monthly periods. We have a simulant of the kava kava. We've failed with kava kava, but it looks like kava kava. And the red raspberry I mentioned, but the red clover I've not mentioned. That has some of the same estrogenic compounds as are in the soybean, but we don't put the soybean there because we have so many things that are better for you than the soybean.
Well, my colleague Mary Enig would love to hear you say that about soy.
Yes, Mary and I have shared a few meetings together at Thai Sophia, and I know her well. I remember her well. I wish her well. And then we go through the endometriosis plot, which we have black cohosh and the evening primrose again, flax, peanut. And again, I do have the soy there, but recommend other sources of the same chemicals. All edible legumes that I've ever had analyzed contain some of the genistein and daidzin, and some contain more than the soybean. So go with the American black bean, or one that's coming up outdoors right now. I'll show the class and even sing a song about it. Apios americana, the groundnut, a legume that grows around the reservoir here. It makes a tuber that's got more protein than potato and would be better for you than potato, and contains those soy isoflavones, but don't contain all the bad attributes of a frankenfood.
Frankenfood, I like that.
Yep. And I'm trying to get us down to the Alzheimer's plot, and I'm going to take you there straightway, just because that's where my rosemary is in flower today and has been in flower for 2 months, and it's a huge rosemary. And why do I have rosemary in my Alzheimer's plot? Well, you might remember the first drug that came out for Alzheimer's, I think it was about 1994, was called Cognex. And it helped about a half of the Alzheimer's patients for a while, but not much. And it damaged the liver in about 20% of them. And after 2 years, they weren't any better than when they started. The principle upon which it worked was preventing the breakdown of the mental messenger, acetylcholine. And I think I can still pronounce it. They had what we wanted, anticholinesterase activity.
Right.
So I went to my USDA database and said, database, what's the best source of anticholinesterase activity? And even though I had put the data in myself, I was surprised when out jumped Shakespeare's Herb of Remembrance, rosemary. And by now, I find that rosemary has at least 8, probably a dozen, anti-acetylcholinesterase compounds, all rolled up in one edible herb, one spice. Or is it a culinary herb? I'll let you decide. It's both to me. But it's good, and just smelling it gives you some of those anti-acetylcholinesterase compounds. Many of them are volatile. So that is the basis for now. I think it was last year I was in AARP. Being 82, you'd think I'm a charter member. And they put in an article called Cream Dementia, which was a tincture of some of the other mints that have proven anti-acetylcholinesterase activity. Now, there's no proof that they're any better than Aricept, but Aricept doesn't really do much good, and I think it has a lot of side effects. So rosemary is my favorite of them, just because it was mentioned by Shakespeare as the herb of remembrance, and it does contain close to a dozen of these anti-acetylcholinesterase compounds. We have growing beside it sage, which has been experimented with in Alzheimer's, and more importantly, lemon balm, which makes a great flavor. I don't like the flavor of the sage as much. And then we have beside that the turmeric and the saffron spices. And we mix all these up, and we've got my cream dementia. Because dementia is one word for Alzheimer's or vice versa, depending on who you're talking to. And nothing is proved, but suppose you took 50 different anti-acetylcholinesterase compounds in your spices a day. Would that be more liable to do more good than Aricept, which ain't good for nothing, I'm told?
Well, I like the use of the natural herbs, and you've taken us from A to A, aphrodisia, to Alzheimer's, and we are so sorry to be at the end of this wonderful program. And I thank you, Dr. Duke, for joining us. It's been enlightening, and we hope to have you back for more of your sage advice.
Thank you, Dana. It was a pleasure being here. And remember, you owe me a trip out here.
I do. I will be there. And listeners, if you want to get in touch with Dr. Duke, you can go to jimduke13@verizon.net. And the website, the database, is www.ars-grin.gov/Duke. So that's the Dr. Duke database at the USDA. And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. And please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health. And, of course, a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest is Steve Shannon, principal at Odin Feldman & Pittleman and a member of the firm's litigation practice group. We've got some interesting topics for you, so tune in. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com and visit my blog at blueprintforwealth.org.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Libya says Muammar Gaddafi's 29-year-old son and three grandchildren were killed by a NATO airstrike. CNN's Reza Sayah says many Libyans don't believe it.
Colonel Gaddafi and his regime have so very little credibility here in opposition-held Benghazi that some people simply don't believe the news. They say they want to see verification, some sort of hard evidence, perhaps a picture of Saif al-Arab Gaddafi's remains to believe it. One senior opposition official told us that this is another attempt, a desperate attempt by Colonel Gaddafi and his regime to win sympathy.
Western embassies in Tripoli are being vandalized today following the news. A mandatory evacuation was